Whether it's fighting demons with a small cat or trying to use a Swiss Army knife to stab a large one, this episode is sure to please all the feline fans out there. Welcome to the Thirsty Mage, the video game podcast with a backlog. Oh man, I deleted what I was supposed to say there. I had a quip. Maybe I should just leave this in now. I was workshopping quips and apparently forgot what I was doing and left it off. So I mean, that gives you the Thirsty Mage experience. I'm David Lloyd, and I'm here with my co-host, the YouTube provocateur, Paige Chamberlain.
Again, it took me, I'm like, what did I provoke? And then I'm like, yes, all the fashion game fans.
Yeah. My daughter was one of them. She's like, did Paige play the game? And yeah. Did Paige like the game? Nope.
I mean, I did see a couple cool things before I returned my game. Someone cosplayed as Ness.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody, and like their name was even Psy, like the PSI. Because they're Japanese, and someone was Nurse Joy, so that was like, you know, that was a fun little thing to see. Before I was done with it.
Yeah, I have no idea what she's doing in it, but I know she's enjoying it because like it's the only game she's played since it's come out. She's probably got like tens of hours into it. It's like ridiculous. I meant to send a message to. Rebecca about she was playing the game and I gave her game code to my daughter, and then it's under like I had bought the game under my profile.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming like my name is coming up wherever she's playing because there's like the online thing, right?
Yeah.
so
she, I know sent she you this outfit.
Well, no, that's but the funny thing is that for some reason, and she couldn't even explain to me why, because she had picked this name before. She had picked the name. Her character's name is Rebecca, okay. And I just happened to notice a few days ago where I was looking over. And I'm like, wait a minute, why are you using that name? And she said, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I gave you that code for the writer to Nintendo Force, and I hope she's not getting the wrong idea here. I'm gonna have to let her know that. It's my daughter playing, and I don't know why she chose that name. So if Rebecca's out there listening to this episode, that's what happened. Yeah. I have not played the game. It wasn't me.
Sure.
Yeah. But no, she's enjoying it, so I'll have to. I don't think I've shown her your video yet, though. But I did tell her some of your beefs with it, and she understood, though. She agreed that some of the things that were missing, she would have liked, but
yeah. No, it's very funny because I did end up finishing the game before I turned it, but not before I made my video where I normally, obviously with a read, normally finish the game, but I was just like, heck this. But then it was literally just the next rank in credits, and you don't even get anything for that level, which was weird because there are four areas, but you've got to get the next one.
Yeah.
But because no one had reviews because there was no pre-release codes, and I was seeing all these negative Google reviews of people who can't return the game. So I'm like, okay, I've got to make this video because otherwise other people are going to feel like they wasted their money. And yeah, got over like 10,000 views now and a bunch of comments just telling me that I shouldn't compare a game to the previous work of the devs because it's not the same series. So, you know, I can't hold them to any standards apparently. Yeah,
I don't know. It's like when Square makes like another RPG, and I guess the example would be like Deerfield Chronicle. It'd be like I think it would be fair to question like if Deerfield Chronicle had bad RPG mechanics. I think it would be fair to say, hey, why did you have bad RPG mechanics? You're literally known as the RPG company.
Yeah.
No, I think it's fair. It just goes to show you that controversy is what gets you the clicks, though.
Yeah, apparently. The sad part, eh? I need to be more of a hater, I guess.
That's right. You dump on more games to get those clicks.
Yeah, just every couple of videos, that'll get them. Yeah. But, yeah, we've been playing a lot of games this month. Too many. A lot of games came out about a week ago, actually.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Many of which were RPGs. So, yeah, there's Persona 5 Tactica, Super Mario RPG, and Small Saga, which is only on PC at the moment. They're all the same day, and they're all RPGs. And I'm sure there was some other games I don't know about.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I've only played a couple of hours of Small Saga because I was working on a review game, and I was trying to finish it all before the 17th, but like there was like a glitch that got patched like the next day, so I put it down for a couple of days. So I spent my whole weekend trying to get that game finished, but I did play about 2 hours of Small Saga, which apparently is about like maybe almost a third of the runtime, so from what I've heard. And that is by Dara, I can't pronounce that, but it's by a co-creator of Aviary Attorney. I don't know if you've played that.
Oh, no.
No, so it's like it's like very much like a rip on Ace Attorney, but really cool art style, because if you like, you look it up, it's like all the illustrated kind of almost sort of looks like old newspaper illustration, like really old ones. Like, I don't mean
looking at it, it's like, like a 19th century newspaper, like books, like that kind of like,
And it was really funny. And so they've been working on their own game now, which is a turn-based RPG where you are a little mouse, and you, at the start of the game, you lose your brother to the Yellow God. And you lose your tail because you get caught in a mouse trap and have to cut it off, basically. And you find a god tool, because the gods are the humans of this world, because we are bipedal rodents and such creatures wearing a little medieval type clothes while also still having a lot of modern stuff. But don't worry about it. I mean, it's set in the modern world. It's just that the society underneath is a bit less modern. Except for when I walked into the fashion store and saw the Drip King.
Oh,
he was definitely very modern. He was like... But yeah, so the main thing is, you're just on a vengeance quest against this yellow god. And yeah, the god tools are just like the human tools. So you are a mouse wielding a pocket knife. And then you're trying to get more information, trying to find him. So you come across, like, the first thing you do after that is you're picking a fight with a cat who just like bats you out of the house, basically. And then you come across Siobhan, whose name I had to look up how to pronounce because it's Irish. So I was like, oh, this is definitely not what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not spelt like Siobhan or something. So it's, Siobhan. And she's a little mole noble lady with that little medieval pointy hat thing. And she uses a Bic lighter, basically.
That's her
god tool. So she can do fire attacks. Because the game's kind of standard turn-based RPG combat, where it's the one where you've got sort of like little action points. So some skills will use 2 points or three, and you just get one per turn. So if you want to get more because you used a bunch, you've got to use like buffs or rest or stuff like that for a turn. But one of the really cool things when I was doing the combat, so I've got a multi-hit attack where he sort of jumps up in the air and it comes back down, and it's like multi-hit for one target, but the target died partway through the attack. So when it came back down, it actually auto-went to another target and hit him, so the entire, like, half attack didn't go to waste.
That's good.
And I was, like, really surprised by that, because I'm like, I don't think I've seen that in a game, you know, like... Obviously, it's not like the first Final Fantasy where, like, if someone dies before it's your turn, you know.
Everyone attacks the air.
Yeah, no, it's the individual turns. But I don't think I've seen a game where it's, like, you're doing multiple hits to a single target, and if they're gone, it'll move to the next one. So that I was very, very impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely the main highlight of this is the writing. It's very funny, and it's got a really nice pixel art style too. One of the first things I saw was that, like, the cool S in the graffiti, which I thought was funny. But, you know, like I said, I walked into a fashion store and there's a guy called Drip King, and he's in, like, that kind of meme outfit with the big shoes and the puffer jacket and the Supreme shirt. And one time I walked into someone's house and they're complaining about their rent, and then I go to their chest and take their seeds, and they say something like, you know, you're great at robbing people, you should be a landlord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and there's heaps of references too. Like, I was at the castle and there's a guy who looks like, I don't know, the onion guy from Dark Souls, whatever the big fat one's called.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just straight up, like, it's like a big mouse that's that. And you go into the, yeah, and there's, like, paintings in the castle, and they're, like, the girl with the pearl earring, but it's, like, a weasel or something else like that, and, like, some other beam things. And my, I think one of the, I think when I walked into a mimic and I was like, I kind of knew it was going to be one, because like I walk into a room and there's a treasure chest and cobwebs. So when I open it, there's a spider inside the chest. But yeah, I really love the presentation because it's got that sort of, your characters are in the foreground to the left a bit, and then the guys are in the background to the right a bit. So you get like really cool perspectives. Especially like you're fighting all these like really like, you know, a cat and things much bigger than you. Like I fought a little octopus in the sewers, but I mean, it wasn't so little to me, you know? Yeah, so I really like the combat style. Apparently they've adjusted it recently too, because apparently the later game was a bit too easy. So now I'm like, damn, I should have
got through quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen some, I haven't gotten to them, but I've seen some other things where you're fighting like, you know, those like 2000s robot pet toys where they had a very like certain vibe of them. That's a fight. And like, it's oh, next to like some, there's like sort of squirrel and some military gear. So I'm thinking that's like, you know, their secret military weapon or something. I'm not.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's definitely very like, it's set in like London and it's very UK. But because like, yeah, we've got the Irish mole like Siobhan, you come across a Scottish squirrel, so it's all a lot of that and some of their dialogue, which I can mostly understand. I think the Scottish squirrel said the one thing and I looked it up and I was like, okay, I could kind of get that through context.
Yeah, well, it's funny just looking at all the screenshots, it really, I don't know if you've ever seen The Great Mouse Detective.
No,
it's for the old folks out there. When I was a kid, there was this cartoon. It was basically kind of a riff on Sherlock Holmes, where there's mice that kind of represent the characters like Holmes and Watson, but it all looks just like this, because like it all takes place in like the human world. Like everything's big but they're like real people. It's all based in London too, so it's all the same vibe and everything. And the main character is Radigan, who's a rat, and he's supposed to kind of be like Moriarty, I guess, but it looks just like this. So there's this big scene where they have a fight in a toy store, and they use like these toy mouse as the soldiers and stuff, and it's just it looks just like this. It's
so what incredible. You're saying is you want to get this game.
I might, like, it's really bringing back those vibes of it's a great movie to watch, like, even now. Like, it's, well, I don't know, it might have, I don't know if it might, maybe it hasn't aged well, I haven't seen it in a while, but, you know, Vincent Price is the voice of the villain.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
so apparently the game is about maybe 8-ish hours at the most, so it's kind of a good little one to, you know, in between all these other longer RPGs.
That's funny, this November to like these, because
we'll
have an episode later on a game almost like an 8-hour game that's heavy on the writing as well, with In Stars and Time, and it's just a funny
I will
time.
Have to tell you one thing, I think we were lied to about the runtime of that game.
Oh, is it longer than 8 hours? Oh,
it is, yes.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was on purpose, because it's saying like the, you know, the dev likes to play on people's expectations and stuff, because it's like, yeah, the code, it's like 8 to 10 hours, and it's like, it took me 20 hours.
Holy, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. No wonder. It was funny because...
That's why I was like spending my weekend trying to like...
get through it.
Because I was like, oh, this is longer than I thought. Yeah.
I'm not surprised because the stuff... Because it was funny because last night I had... I guess I don't want to spoil too much, but I had gotten past a certain point, and then it was like, oh, well, like, find this, and this, and that should like clear things up or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I found them all. And then I did the thing, and then like all these other things opened up, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? I'm like, I guess I'm not as close as I thought. And then I went on to YouTube to get like a Let's Play or something. And then I got to the point where I am, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why am I only halfway through this person's video, but we're at the same spot? Mm. So, yeah, that answers a lot of questions there, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be, like, speechless because I made some, like, mistakes or ran out of the resources, even though I had, like, a heap just because I messed up a couple times. Yeah, just so you know, like, not to spoil it too much, but it's a bit more time.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we have that booked in another couple weeks then. So I can get that done.
Yeah. I forgot where I was going with that. But yeah, definitely fun. I did want to play some more because I was finally free with not making videos to play some more, like on my computer time to myself. But then I was like, oh, I need to play some more Persona 5 Tactica because we're going to talk about that. And I was only like an hour and a half into the game. So now I'm 4.5.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so we were talking beforehand, and I think we're around
pretty much the same point.
Yeah.
So we haven't gotten to the first boss fight, but we're maybe close-ish. So what were your thoughts on Persona 5 Tactica before you picked it up? Because I thought you were going to get it.
I was only interested in picking it up because it was on Game Pass. So kudos to them for putting that there, because I really don't think I would have played it had it not. I was giving it the benefit of the doubt in the sense that when Mario Rabbids was announced, I was like, that game's going to suck. And I wasn't going to get it at all. And I think I ended up getting it as a review for NWR back in the day. And I was like, that one just kind of blew out my expectations because I really enjoyed Mario Rabbids. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll give Atlas the benefit here, and you know, we'll get in and play. I definitely like the thing with Persona 5 is like when you play 100 hours of the main story, anything else after just it, like I don't know if I've like fatigued from like if it's not the main story, then what's the point? Because this takes. So this game takes place after, I guess. It wasn't really clear how long after.
But. I think it's after you've beaten the base game content, but like before Joker goes home. But I think it's before Royal content, maybe, because the Royal characters are in the DLC, and apparently the DLC takes place earlier than the...
Oh.
Yeah,
I was wondering because I don't think they mentioned
it. It's kind of disappointing because I only liked Akechi in the third semester. So it's not the same, but it's just like, oh.
Yeah, that's true.
But how does like if you bought DLC, because you buy DLC for a game you have in Game Pass and then it would still work as long as it's on Game Pass? Because like you wouldn't get the DLC on Pass, but like.
No, there's.
You could buy DLC for a game you don't. Actually, well, I don't
yeah, like you, work. So because I know for other games, what they've done is you could there's like sometimes they have a package where it's like, well, if you buy the DLC, then you get the game like 3 days early, and you get access to the DLC, and you load the game as if you own it.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming like when you buy the DLC, it's just applied to the game.
Yeah, because all I know about the day one bloody $30 DLC is that it's sort of got a separate menu, so it's not connected to the main plot.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's their way around it then. Is you have to open that to use it at all, and then that way it's kind of segmented away from the Game Pass. It was funny the day it came out. I couldn't even find it in Game Pass. I kind of had to go through my app and bring it up, and then like it wasn't showing up on the console for some reason. But I eventually got it on there and played a bit of it the first, like at midnight or whatever when it was supposed to be available. So, but yeah, like it's so the story is pretty separate. Like the game starts off with a little cinema scene where they're, you know, conversing at LeBlanc, and there's a news story about this politician that's gone missing. And I think they even mentioned, like, I think the Phantom Thieves are kind of talking amongst themselves, like, hey, should we be concerned about this guy that's missing or something? And then all of a sudden they're just kind of inexplicably sucked into this other world that's very, very much like their world. They don't even really know that they're in the metaverse or a version of it, I guess. They're kind of in this other, completely other dimension, which I guess is their kind of rationale behind their powers not working the way they're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're not as strong, I think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's the whole, oh, we're now level one again or whatever.
Yeah.
And Joker can only have like one extra persona, but everyone else can have one extra persona. Like, you can't, it's like a sub persona. So I think it's like you get their little abilities, but it's not like you swap them in and out. You're still based on your original persona, or your type wise, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool that the other characters get a bit more versatility.
Yeah. It's still kind of demon light though, because each persona only has like two abilities.
Yeah.
I think there's like a passive and then an actual move.
Yeah. And then there's a skill tree, which confuses me because I like click on it and then it's suddenly saying, like, I guess because you can untick stuff on the skill tree. So then I've been doing that without realizing it and getting confused. It won't let me buy some things when I have points. Really? So, yeah. So I'm just going to start going with auto assign or something. So then because I don't know what's going on with that. I am. Kind of like, I like the persona fusion though, with like it's in the foundry or smithy or
so the Velvet Room is in this game. No Igor, but Lavenza is managing things. She also got sucked into the world. She doesn't really know what's going on either.
She's also making the weapons.
Oh, what's his name? Akai? The Yakuza man. He didn't get sucked in, so yeah, no. Lavenza had to take over making the weapons. But yeah, it's the Velvet Room is, I guess it would be kind of reminiscent of like a steampunkish kind of 19th century factory, like a foundry or an iron smithy or something.
Yeah,
where it's like all these gears
she's got the little welder mask and everything. Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah,
I like when they do different stuff, because I think PQ2 it was like the cinema, so they were like combining film reels together.
So
fun stuff like that. But yeah, I was interested in it. I'm not sick of Persona 5. I was literally like, man, I could play Persona 5 again, and then I'm like, Tactics is coming out next month. Just play that. Like, just, you know, yeah. I'm not too sick of them yet.
No, I like the characters. Like, I still enjoy the characters. It's more, I was a little concerned that the story was just going to feel like filler.
Yeah. I think, I know one of the worst spin-offs was the dancing game, where it's all a dream and it's just one night, and obviously people weren't, like, you know, at their bare minimum personalities. But I think this is good because I've gotten to know Haru a lot more than I ever did playing the game. Even when I did spend more time with her in my Royal playthrough.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to know her a bit better. And they're at least all past their main personal quests, like not the Royal stuff, obviously, but so they are a bit more developed and, you know, not overly gimmicky. They're still, like, being mean to Ryuji. But
Some things are timeless.
Morgana's back to the I'm not a cat thing too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you notice it felt like Makoto wasn't saying as much?
Yeah, so far.
I don't know.
I don't mind that not everybody has to say something in regards to everything. That is nice to not.
Yeah.
And I really like the art style too. I mean, I'm not super a fan of like the whole no noses thing when it comes to these kind of
designs. Especially the main villain. It kind of looks kind of funny with no nose.
It's just giving like Bratz doll vibes, really. Especially her. But I do like that it's like semi chibi, but still a bit elongated. So it's like not the Persona Q style, but similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it because, you know, it probably helps the game run better on the Switch than me.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But I wasn't one of the people that wasn't interested in him. I think it looks nice. And I really like Arena, who's like one of the two, aside from the villains, obviously, but like one of the two, you know, new Phantom Thieves for the spin-off that we seem to be get. You know, well, I don't think they've been calling this, they're different because Arena can't have a persona and things like that. So they're not actually part of the Phantom Thieves, but they're, you know, they're in the group anyway.
I'm assuming so far she can't use a persona. I'm thinking a persona is coming, but
well, that's it. It could be a big story thing, probably.
But she can use art. She can still use magic. Like she still uses the arts. And I think she's light. She's a light user.
I have to find it, but I'll show you something in a little bit because you know it's like the PC where it's the keys for the things, and it's like, you know, F for this or
all that. Yeah.
Have you seen the farts? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really like Irina's character design, actually. I thought I wasn't going to like her as a personality, but she's great. I'm like, probably not going to, but I was like, man, I kind of want to cosplay her, but that's such an expensive hobby, even compared to collecting and buying. It's like, you know, so much money and time for like...
I was going to say a lot of time, too.
Pictures, basically, yeah. Well, yeah, she's got like the whole knight leg, like the knight armor leg I really like.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
I like when they first meet too, and she's like, they're all friendly, and then she kind of turns from it and like, unless you're spies.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. I was wondering, oh, maybe it's too easy because I'm playing on normal, and it was like I beat, because you've got like the try to beat this in this many turns, like you don't have to, but it's like I think you maybe get a little bonus. And I beat 1 8 turn thing in 3, and I'm like, oh, is this game a bit too easy? Should I look it up? And then, like, the next two, I was like, just over the turn limit. Or people are getting, like, knocked out right next to the finish line, like, when there's only a couple enemies left, or when we're, like, literally, like, you know, trying to run away one.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, really? Now I don't have the 3 ticks you got. Like, you just, it was so close. Because you can baton pass characters in, because you can only have 3 party members, which was, like, weird to me, but I think. How much is it in Rabbids? 3 or 4?
It's only 3.
Yeah. I don't know. That's really weird to me. I guess it's just smaller maps and stuff, but I was just like, that's when you've got so many characters, that seems odd. But you can baton pass when they get knocked out to bring them in, and then they get a bonus if they weren't in the last battle. So they have slightly better stats if you cycle them, and then obviously it's all one individual level. So it's just trying to make sure everyone has their expensive guns, I guess.
Yeah.
Remembering to put sub personas on them. But yeah, there's no, you can switch an in and out before battles or mid battle if someone decides to die in one more turn before the last.
The thing I find that I have to keep reminding myself is when you do a physical attack, you actually throw, like when you hit them, they fly off, and it's basically like depending on the angle that you hit, they'll go like they'll fly in a straight line to wherever. So you can knock them into other characters or other enemies. I was like early on anyway, I kept hitting my own characters because I kept forgetting. It's like, oh, that was Morgana way over there. Like, sorry about that, Morgana.
Have you been doing any of the quests, which are like the side challenges?
I don't think so. Like I've just been doing the missions. So okay, because
there's one that's really about practicing that. Because you have to get Arena to the ended one turn. So, you know, when you knock someone down, it's once more. So you're basically trying to, like, knock multiple guys down so you can get to the exit in one turn.
Oh, so okay. I didn't do that a few tries.
And, yeah, there's a few, like, practicing the triple threat thing, which is when... So if you knock someone down, and you guys are in like a triangle, like your three characters are within a triangle of each other, like which you can still move when you're in a once more again. You can, everyone will be caught in like a basically an all out attack and usually die, maybe, or at least like most of their health. And yeah, one was about doing all that in one turn, so I was sort of trying to knock people into position because some were really out of the spot. But because both Makoto and Yusuke had a once more, they both could do a triple threat. So I was trying to move the check the movement. So I was moving her one way and then going, okay, so we triple threat this way, that'll cover that guy. But if I move him afterwards, because he still has a turn, then I can get the last two. So which is like it's good that it's like not once per all turns, it's like once per each character that it can activate it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the little challenges are good for practicing the mechanics of it. Although it is you can't pause on the enemy's turn to just like go to retry, and when you retry, you have to go through all the dialogue again.
Yeah,
which one of them was a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know what's up with that. I don't know how you make a game and like constantly mess up these basic quality of life things, like not letting you skip. Like, unless it's just I can't find the right button because I press this must be skip and then it just turns fast forward and I'm like that's not it.
Oh, I don't know what it is on. I don't know what it is on Nintendo. But now that you say that, the three line button, like I had to, I could.
Okay, I'll try the minus button and see if that's it then.
Yeah, or what am I looking at? Maybe the plus button, because like when I'm looking at the
control, just made it fast forward. So.
Oh yeah, maybe it's the minus then.
Like, I thought that was a skip.
I had to hit the options button twice to bring up the skip, and then you hold down the button for like 2 seconds, and then it skips.
Okay, maybe I just was impatient. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, because like it was so annoying. But then it's still annoying that like you mess up on the one turn things, and then you gotta wait for all the characters to do their turn because you can't. You can fast forward it, but not pause it to just reset. And it's like what?
Yeah.
Why?
The one thing I do like about the setup that they have is that the move, like you can move your character around. So when it's your character's turn, it kind of shows like the area where you could go, and you can kind of just run around wherever you want, and then basically just put your character where you want, like where you want the attack to be from.
Yeah,
and I find that nice. So it's not like in a lot of tactics games, like you. If you move your character to a spot, then it's like, well, no, you're done. That's it. You've already moved them.
That's like when I played Echoes, I sometimes I'd use the turn wheel on like, I just misclicked. I was like, no, I was just trying to see, and then they've committed to the spot.
Yeah. So it's nice that there's no commitment.
Like I said with the, what do you would call the triangle attacks? I forget. Anyway, but whatever those are called, you can position, you can like move the any characters that still have a move around, so you can figure out to try and get as many guys in it as possible.
Yeah. Well, it definitely provides incentive to make sure you knock down the character with the first one, like with the first turn or the first character, so that you can move those two around.
Well, that's like, you've got to use like where those big guys where you have to attack them
they come out once. Of
cover. Yeah. And then get the second person to shoot them so they get knocked down. And so they are constantly getting triple threaded because that's how you deal with them.
Well, I really cheesed that the triple threat attack in the Ryuji Haru.
Yeah, that's the one. I think that's the one I did in 3 turns out of 8, and I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was the same. Because basically they're kind of entrapped in this like square. So if you can get all the characters up onto, there's like containers, like those big like steel containers or whatever that you find on 18 wheelers. There's basically 4 of them, and they're circled around the area where all the enemies are. So you just have everyone run up to the top, and then as long as you can knock someone down, then you can effectively, you know, get the 3 to pretty much encapsulate everyone plus the flag. And then you kind of one to two shot the level. So
yeah, it was like the most trouble I had was like Ryuji, like zapped Joker, but he could still do stuff. So he's more just like, hold on, we're trying to take the objective. And yeah, there's like a little variety of objectives because you've got to take down the flag is the main thing, and like then you beat the level. Or you're escorting somebody who can't fight at all. And like I said, the quests are more the unique ones. Yeah. I've heard things about the game is that like the pacing's a bit weird because like apparently the first world's the longest even. And that there's not that many worlds, which I don't know how many there is. Because, like, if they say not that many, I'm like, so does that just mean, like, three or four? Because in the trailer footage, we've only seen, like, two.
Oh, really? I don't,
you know? And yeah. That, yeah, they seem to get shorter. And that, yeah, so some people say, like, I think a lot of reviews, like, it sort of starts out really promising, and then it's still, like, a good game, but it's just, like, they expected a bit better because then, yeah, the pacing got, like, shorter, and maybe the objectives didn't get more as varied. And, like, some people were talking about even the music, too, because... I like the music, but yeah, it's very much like this is definitely like the new ones are definitely more. This is more Persona 5 music because they got to go with the theme. But I do like the new battle theme, and now I've got to wait for that. They should make another because I've got the Persona 5 Royal vinyl. I want to order the Persona 5 base game vinyl, but that's like $220.
Holy moly!
Hopefully they do a spin-off one, and then they give us the Strikers and the. Tactica, cute, you know, just they should just do one with all the Persona 5 spin-off game music.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure maybe not money the
dancing. That's what a lot of people talking about, you know, Persona 5 dancing came out before, like, I think any, or at least maybe, like, one of the other spin-offs. So it was just remixes of just the base game songs, and they weren't even that good. So
ow.
They should have waited until, like, you know, they've done it last or something.
Yeah, well, there's a couple songs from Royal that are kind of like my favorite songs now of the series. So there was,
yeah.
I think my biggest disappointment of Tactica is just the kind of lackluster environments. Like they don't there's nothing too unique about like anything really. Like you hide behind boxes and you can hide behind walls and stuff, but you know. In the first world, at least, maybe, I don't know, maybe it gets better in the other worlds, but the first world is just, it's just streets. Like you're not, there's nothing like unique about the, anything in the background
like,
or anything.
Like I said, it's no Mario plus Rabbids, but
no,
you can't compare it to that, but it's still, yeah. It still is. Yeah. Just it's streets and barricades and forts and yeah.
Yeah. And it's the, like you said, the objectives are kind of like, tactics tropes where it's like you know protect this character and get everyone to this area and I guess like the kind of capture the flag mechanic is probably the most unique like those levels where it's like okay there's all these powerful characters and you have to attack the enemy's flag and replace it with your own like that's Those levels I find interesting. Also, they're usually the levels at the end of like a story, though too. Like yeah. Every time you like, you know, the game starts off where everyone gets brainwashed, and so the first like kind of boss levels, I guess, are fighting the Phantom Thieves.
The first time where you're getting chased by all of them, I was like nearly dying, and it was like really scary. But then. They weren't that threatening when it was like fighting the two of them. Like when that one early one where they're chasing you, it was like, oh my god!
No, the only one I had any difficulty really was the Makoto Yusuke, and it was mostly because I was like indecisive of because there was like two different ways to get to the flag, and I couldn't decide which way I wanted to go, and so I like kind of. And then the other problem is that was the first time I had access to Haru, but she's really slow. She only gets like four steps where everyone else gets like six or seven.
Yeah.
And then it's like the flag is far away and I'm like, man, I should have chosen someone else because she's slowing me down.
That one was like, because you can't triple threat the flag because it's on the edge of the map. And I was like, oh, this is so rude.
Yeah, that was the other problem.
So I put two people to the right side and Draco's on his own on the left. So he was just getting... murdered by everyone on that side like he didn't even make it up the steps but so that was the one where I baton passed like twice because we But we did clear out the regular enemies because the Phantom Thieves brainwash, they get up after two turns. And then we just had to shoot the flag because there was no other way to really effectively deal damage.
Yeah. Well, I had knocked out Makoto, but unfortunately I knocked her out at the base of the ladder, so I couldn't bring two of the characters down.
Can you knock down your own teammates?
I haven't tried.
I don't know, because it's an attack, so probably not.
You could knock enemies into your own, your teammates, yeah. I guess that way.
I had the problem with a challenge mission where it was like I knock them and now they're just in the way of the next place, and I was like, oh, and I got to start again.
Yeah.
I can't move. Yeah, so that one was a bit tougher, but it was mostly I should just put everyone together probably and dealt with the getting flanked instead of trying to go through two paths. Yeah, because I went from, oh, this is too easy, to like, oh no, I'm too stupid for this.
Yeah, I would say like the difficulty's low, but then I guess where it becomes more difficult is, like you said, trying to get the three. Usually it's like trying to get it in the amount of turns that are required to get like the three objectives. Because it's annoying when you miss it by like one turn and you're like, oh, come on. I missed it once because it was one of the levels where you had to bring everyone to a certain spot, and Morgana, at the end of one turn, I could only put Morgana right next to where that we were supposed to go. So I had to use up one more turn to put them in. So yeah. I failed. I missed the objective because I was like one step away. I was like, ah. Mm. But no, it's pretty fun. You're going to keep on going, I'm guessing, eh?
Yeah, I might play some more Small Saga first because that's just shorter. But I'm liking it so far. But it's just sort of balancing different RPGs that I've seen. Like on the Friday, I played 1 hour of Persona, 1 hour of Mario, and then, back to other stuff.
I definitely want to defeat Marie, which is called Marie. The way they pronounce it really throws me off, but at the very least, I want to see what happens to finish that dungeon.
I guess so. I know someone whose name is spelt like Marie, but you say Mari, so it's like, nowadays,
the A at the end that throws me off.
The names nowadays where it's like, you know, people giving their kids the literal spellings of their names or like the normal way or worse, and then like, no, you're meant to pronounce it the normal way, but it's not spelled the normal way. I guess it's just the first area is supposed to be French, so I don't know, maybe that's how they say it.
All I know is it doesn't bode well for me, who can barely pronounce very standard names to be as it is. It's just going to get harder as time goes on, especially as I get older.
Where's the whatchamacallit?
Yeah.
The Peroni.
I guess that'll take us into our second Game of the Year discussion. So in the last episode, we had let everyone know that this year we're not doing a ranked numbering of games this year. It was just too difficult. Too many good games in 2023. It's definitely been a banger year. So we're going with just kind of a bucket of 10 games that we think stand out above the rest. So Jordan and I had talked about the first two, Diablo 4 and Final Fantasy 16. So that was the first two games in our top 10 list. I guess you could still call it top 10 list. But we got two more for this episode. And I'll let Paige talk about why she chose this Nintendo game that's coming up. To me, it's funny. I haven't played the game, and I know Jordan and Casey both did, but I was still shocked that you were the only one who considered putting it in the top 10. But you could tell me why you definitely think it deserved to be there. And I'm sure everyone listening is probably going to be shocked when they hear that this almost missed the cut.
Well, I mean, I haven't even beaten most of the games that my potential, you know, or played some of the ones on this list. So, and technically, Tears of the Kingdom is one of them. But it is one of the games I've put over 80 hours into this year and would actually recommend other people to play. Unlike the A Wonderful Life remake, which I wouldn't really. So, yeah, there is like one flaw, I think, which, and when it comes to, we're just doing top 10, but I mean, not, I don't think in any particular order, but you know, when it comes to something like Game Awards and stuff, I definitely don't think it's going to make it this year because it's Baldur's Gate 3. But,
yeah.
And you know, one of the big flaws of Tears of the Kingdom is the narrative. It, once again, doing that memories thing and the copy-paste sage speeches and just, and they're really like, they don't care about consistency. This Nintendo, they're like, so what if stuff doesn't line up with the last game? But you know, it's about the gameplay, really. It wouldn't kill them to actually bother with their stories, but you know, you're not really playing Tears of the Kingdom for it. You're playing Tears of the Kingdom so that you can stab crawling cave gremlins and get scared by trees and be too scared to go near a forest. I really liked that they did, I mean, had to do new enemies. That would have been so bad if they didn't. But I really like a lot of the new enemies, such as the Horriblins, I think that's what they're called, and I can't remember what the trees are called. I'm saying Evermean, but I don't know if that's actually what it's called or what people, you know, like actually, because like a lot of people are calling something Gloomhands, but I think there's like an actual name in game for them, things like that. And the depths is really cool. I like just, it's basically a mirror of the map of the base game. So, you know, it's like, it's more than twice as big as the original game. They changed things up with the stuff going on, so like, you know, there's no lava in Gerudo Valley, things, not Gerudo, Goron, Death Mountain.
Oh yeah.
And they gave us some proper story segments with the like the sort of the dungeons, although yeah, see now I'm just like see I'm saying all this like, yeah, it's in the top 10, but also here's all the bad things about the game. Like, you know, the dungeons weren't really, like, they were really short. Like, there wasn't, although some of them I kind of consider the way to the dungeons was sort of part of it. Like, the way up to the Sky Temple was, like, this little, like, section and segment, and that did feel like it was part of it. So, you know, it's a bit longer when you consider that, and, like, the same for the Gerudo Temple. But,
did you get into the construction stuff much? Like all the crazy contraptions?
Yeah, a little bit, not too much. But you know, I did like just some flying things. I didn't do the really crazy stuff. You know, maybe if I need some resources, I'll get some of those death machines. You know,
yeah,
that people have made where they just like cage them up and push them in water and things like that.
Yeah. Did you crucify any Koroks?
No. I did have a bit where I was like doing the Koroks on the horse like thing, and then I went past, I was carrying like two different Koroks, and I learned that you cannot give Koroks to wrong friends, they have to go to their original friend. So but yeah, I definitely, the highlights for me is like, one, the actually having a proper dungeon, the bit of story that you get there, getting to see everyone after the fact, Pura being back to sort of her original stuff, getting to know the characters more, seeing the world be more alive than Breath of the Wild, which is really funny because everyone thought it was going to be darker and all this, but like this is the more hopeful one, really. Like everything's sort of becoming better and more populated, like there's fashion trends going on. That was a really fun side quest, although then again, that's a negative point because I can't wear the cool, I get a really cool hat, but I don't get the same fashionable mushroom outfits that everyone else does. I just get I just get this really nice hat, but not the other stuff. Yeah, that's like the whole, yeah, fun little side quests and stuff. Like, you get, yeah, you get development of like the characters that you've seen before with the Tarrytown, like seeing that that's grown, things like that. The guy holding up the sign, like I love all the little extra things you do, like the guy holding up the signs and you got to help him. Yeah, there's just, it's just a fun little extra stuff. There's no guardians too, so that's nice, you know.
Where do you fall on Breath of the Wild versus Tears of the Kingdom?
I think, well, Tears has just got more to it, really, you know?
Yeah.
And the boss fights are different. They're not just...
So it's an apples and oranges thing as opposed to one better than the other?
Yeah, it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
But then again, you can't use the Wolflink amiibo the same way. Because in the Breath of the Wild, you could summon him as a little partner, and like if he played Twilight Princess HD and did the extra dungeon, he'd have more hearts, so he might survive a single hit, you know. But they just, I guess, because Tears of the Kingdom isn't on the Wii U, they took that out. So now you scan him, and it's just a pile of meat drops from the sky, and you're like, oh no!
Oh, that's done. Yeah, that's awful.
Like, obviously, it's just, like, he brought the meat, but, you know, like, that's yeah. What you first see. Like, what the hell? Because a bunch of the Link amiibos will give you fish, because they're just like fish. They've been fishing.
Now, can you wear your Switch t-shirt in Tears of the Kingdom?
No. See? You can't wear a Nintendo Switch shirt playing a Wii U game, so it's not as good, actually.
There you go. Disappointment.
But there is, yeah, just so much fun, like, little things to do that... And yeah, the different enemy types and stuff, because it's still a little lacking, but definitely the Breath of the Wild was when you compare it to this now. And yeah, more options of ways to do things. So like if you're not super into the combat, you just grind around a bit and make a machine to take care
do the work.
And it looks like apparently we're not getting DLC, so I guess I'll have to get back to it and finish it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's nothing to wait around for.
I guess they figured they had enough content there.
Yeah, well, this is probably, like, most of their ideas they had. You know, like, stuff that they couldn't go into the first game.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there wasn't too much more. Or, you know, like I said, they seem to have they don't care about doing lore or putting much effort into the story. So they're just like, oh, can't think of anything, you know. They just want to work on something else for once.
I was going to say, they probably want to work on another, like, Switch 2 is probably not that far away, so they probably want to make sure they got a Zelda game early.
They want to make a Triforce Heroes 2. They don't want to make another open world Zelda.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's still really fun. There's a few letdowns and stuff, but it's still, like, it's really good. I put 80 hours into it, and, you know, this is my first year of having a baby, so that's pretty good for an action game. You know, because it's not quite as easy to put down a pickup. But there was a point where I was in the depths for so long that, like, when I went up in the surface in the game, my eyes did that thing, like when you know you're inside a dark room and you go outside to the sun.
Oh, the iris is opening up. Yeah,
and it's like with the video game. Just in the video game, I've been underground in the dark for so long, and then I come up to the fake sun, and I'm like, oh.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think I'm just up to the bits where I was just like, because I'm up to an escort mission, so I sort of put it down for a bit because I don't like the controls of that section. But I think I'll just, like, wait for a blood moon and then clear the area and try to just cheese it a bit.
Yeah.
And it is funny because, yeah, you can finally go things out of sequence, but that you couldn't because I found this, like, area where it's, like, sort of this final bit. Well, not final bit, like, the bit before you. Like, you don't have to do it, but, like, this final thing you can do before you go take on Ganon. And I found the area, but I couldn't do anything with it because I had to go to another area and progress the story and stuff. And, Link gets, like, a lot more outfits, and that's cool. And the abilities. I didn't even talk about the abilities. I do miss stasis so much, actually. Like, I can kind of do without the ice blocks. And the magnesis, because I've got something that's basically that. But I really miss just, like, pausing an enemy and then wailing on it and making it fly in the air. I miss that so much. That's But yeah, and I was trying to beat the Age of Calamity before that came out, and then I didn't manage to do that. And then so it's like 2 years old of games this year that I haven't finished. But yeah, the other abilities are good. So what have we got? That we have the moving stuff around and gluing stuff together. The recall, yeah, that's it. That's good. Especially with the getting on the sky things. But I do miss one of the Breath of Wild abilities. And I guess one of the other things I was hoping that would be in this game would be underwater stuff, and there really wasn't. It was just the depths, and there wasn't even, like, some cool bubble of water in the depths or something. There was, like, none of that. And I find the sage thing kind of annoying. Mostly I don't like how they look. I just wish they were the actual people following you and not the spirit, like a clone spirit of them to help you with stuff. So I only keep the one that helps you fly better around, like glide boost. I don't like them otherwise. Oh, and there was like one fight that I was not prepared for, so I put them all out so I survived. And then I kind of feel like it's cheating, but it's not really cheating because they give it to you and you can have them all out at a time. So, like, you know, because it's literally an inbuilt game mechanic that you get through the story. So even though I feel like it's cheating, it's not. It's meant to be there for you. It's like the turning it off is more of like that's the option, really. Because by default, they try to turn themselves on. So, I don't know what I would give. I'd probably, like, you know, 8 to 9. I've never given anything a 10. And like I said, there's definitely some things where I'm just like, but I still think it's really good. And like, it's up there with some of the games. But you know, because of some of the basic, and it's got some of that emergent silly gameplay stuff like you can do in Baldur's Gate 3 where you're like, oh, can I like put this and this together? And they're like, and you can, you know. Yeah. But in comparison, it doesn't reach the heights with the you know, character depth. It's pretty lacking.
Yeah.
But it's definitely really fun.
Yeah, like if, like you said, if it was. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the important thing. Fun game. Yeah, I would, if, like you said, if Baldur's Gate 3 hadn't released this year, I think it might have had a shot at Game of the Year on the Game Awards, but...
Yeah, I don't think it does now.
No, I think Baldur's Gate 3 is going to run away with a lot of stuff this year. Yeah.
That's why, like, I need to do my list of what I think is going to actually win in all the categories, because that's always fun to do.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess the final game that we'll add to the list, the fourth game for this episode, is I would say the greatest redemption in video game history, when we're talking about going from the second to the first, because our fourth game on our list is Octopath Traveler 2. So this is a game I don't even know if I was necessarily going to pick it up when it first came out, because I hated Octopath 1 so much. But man, did Square Enix ever get it right on the second one. Fixed all the things that I didn't like with the first one. You know, mainly being that the characters actually make eye contact, talk towards each other, converse. It's not just one-liners into the ether. There's an actual story that all comes together. The exploration of the map is much more natural. Like, it's you could Octopath 1. I don't want to be crapping on Octopath 1 for this whole Game of the Year discussion, but
but in comparison,
but in comparison, Octopath 1 was just a big circle. You just walked in a circle around the map, picking up people, and then you did the circle again, and but this time, yeah, it was. I remember, like, I picked up Throne, or I started off as Throne in this one city, and there's like two continents, so I was, you know, exploring the eastern continent and having a good time, picking up friends, helping them with their quests, enjoying the banter between the two. Like, it was great. There was, and like I said, I'm sure they took the criticism to heart, because they actually had literal cinema moments between each character's
It was like they added sort of, like, not party chat, but it was like little side things for the two characters, wasn't it?
Yeah. And like every character had their own quest that they were on that you continued throughout the story and came to conclusions on. But then there was three, like, sub quests, I guess, where they had quests together. Like, I believe it was, I can't remember who, there was like three combinations of the two two of each character. And there was like that, there was a quest that kind of had multiple layers too. So you had essentially like nine different stories that you were, building upon throughout the game. And, some of them, the way that they basically kind of, I wouldn't say gated, but kind of gated in the sense of like the quest had like your recommended levels to be in order to get through it. So that was kind of the natural way of kind of handholding of like, maybe you should go do this or go do that or whatever. Well, so.
Some areas had like a sign, I could just play the demo, but it was like some areas had a sign like, be level this to go in here. And yeah, you'd find out very quickly that you should definitely listen to those signs.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely some areas where it's like, okay, you can't go here until you're near the end of the game because you're just going to get wrecked. So,
you know, it's not a matter of like being able to, you know, some games you can get away with being underleveled in an area. It's no, you will get stomped.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, that combat system is one of the best. In our, like the turn-based, it's one of the best ones that I've played. It's the evolution of turn-based is just works terrific. There wasn't a whole lot I didn't like about the game. So, and we haven't, I haven't even really gotten into the way it looks. Like the 2D HD looks incredible. Like it's a very beautiful game. So definitely, again, this would have been my game of the year if Baldur's Gate 3 hadn't released this year, but. I guess that's a bit of a spoiler for one of the games later on in the list, but yeah, Octopath Traveler 2, terrific game. I would say to anyone who hated the first game like I did, don't play this because you didn't like the first one. It's not even in the same sphere. It's just completely different. It's way better. Well, definitely worth playing.
Hopefully, maybe early next year. I'll have time to play it before the February. We got November RPGs and we got February RPGs, so it's like only a couple months to try and catch up on stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I think my only January pickup's the shortish game, so I'll be able to like maybe finish something from last year in between that.
Not going to play Persona 3?
Oh, it's January, isn't it? I thought it was February.
Oh, is it February too?
Let me have a look. I don't know.
I thought it was like end of January.
It could be. No, 2nd of February.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, I should have it finished. If it's February 2nd, I should have it finished before Rebirth.
Yes.
That's Rebirth is my big game for next year.
Well, we'll talk about our games for next year, I guess, closer to the end of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was thinking, things that came out really early in the year that people have forgotten, one of the ones I didn't put on my game of the year, even though I really liked it, was Fire Emblem Engage. Cause, that one I spent about 2 months playing, basically. That'd probably give like an 8. I just think, I definitely give Tears of the Kingdom it over Engage.
Yeah.
It's just, well, they're kind of not really comparable games, really. But, like, there's nothing, we're not really, okay, the only thing wrong with Engage was also the story. Very meh. Very like, oh my god, like really. Some of the stuff, it was like bad. It not Fate's bad, but it was bad.
Yeah.
But the gameplay was really fun. The graphics are a massive improvement over Three Houses. So that's a game that came out this year to not forget about.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure many people will give it a game of the year. But...
No, there can only be 10. And it didn't make it. There'll be other than 10.
So what you're saying is I need to like go on Smash Bros. And put representatives of the 10 games and in a tournament. And then see who wins by that. I might have to make some Mii fighters for some of the games, but we'll.
Yeah. You'll have to find a way to get silver haired vampire?
Yeah.
To represent Baldur's Gate?
Well, it could just be a Castlevania character.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess. Cool. So, yeah, so I guess just to summarize. 4 of the 10 so far, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 16, Tears of the Kingdom, and Octopath Traveler 2. So you'll have to tune into the next couple episodes to get the final 6. So we'll have those coming up.
What was my other one? Where's the list? I don't remember what I
picked. Oh,
Maybe I did talk about something that I did put and I've forgotten.
Yeah, you had a lot of Nintendo games on your list.
Okay, so
I'll say it that. Yeah.
I'll find
Nintendo
it.
Nintendo will be represented on this list. There's still plenty to come from.
I just don't want to say, like, I talked about Fire Emblem and then I'm going to like click on the list and then I did put it on the list and I'm going to be like, oh no, I just said it's not.
I'll put the list in the chat soon. Yeah, but no, I can confirm that there's no
okay.
There's no Fire Emblem on the list.
You're like, cut.
Yeah. No, but yeah, upcoming episodes. So we've got planned an episode on In Stars and Time. Apparently, I have probably another 10 to so hours to go in that one. So I'll need a week or two to get through that. Once that's done, I'll be getting back to Star Ocean 2. So we'll probably have an episode on that. I know Jordan's playing that one. And I'm not sure. Are you very far in that one, Paige?
No. It's the same problem with Octopath, right? I play the demo on the Switch, and then I got the PS5 copy, and now I'm like, oh. Like, I know it's only 2 hours, but it's just like...
Yeah.
But I don't know. I might be doing the just playing 1 hour of each RPG at a time and after I beat Small Saga. That's my... And yeah. We're finishing up, so I won't talk about it, but I have been playing another game where you're a bipedal mouse wearing clothes. So yeah, that one's been actually eating up some of my time because it's just like, it's the Backpack Hero. It was in the Indie World presentation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's because it's a roguelike, so it's just like, I'll just do one run. I just do one. And another one. And another, like,
yeah,
do it this time.
Yeah, so that's some of the games that we have look forward to as we start to wrap up 2023. And yeah, I'm sure we'll do a game of the year wrap up too as well later on, so look forward to that. But in the meantime, I would plug Paige's YouTube channel. So there's an In Stars and Time review there, as well as
it only has like 20 something views, so it's a bit of a drop from the last video.
And if you want to watch Paige's takedown of Fashion Dreamer, that's still racking up the views too.
Yes.
So, yep, check those out. But otherwise, I guess I'll thank Paige for joining me, and we'll see everyone out at the next Thirsty Mage. Bye.
Bye.